Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 21. Tamasya lokasya vibho ri rakshishor grihe vitirno si mamakileshvara Rajanya samgyasura koti yuta par nirvyu yamana nishase chamu tvam your lordship asya of this world, lokasya, especially this Martya Loka, the planet Earth, Vibho, O Supreme, Rakshishu, desiring protection from the disturbance of the Asuras. Krihe, in this house, Avitirna, Asi, have now appeared. Mama, my, Akila Ishvara. Although you are the proprietor of the entire creation, Prajanya Samgya, Asura Koti Yuta Pati Pai. With millions of demons and their followers in the roles of politicians and kings. Nirvyu Yamana. Which are moving here and there all over the world. Nihani. Nihanishase will kill Ramu, the armies, paraphernalia, soldiers, and retinues. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I'm sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers but are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. Purport. Krishna appears in this world for two purposes. Paritranaya sadunam, vinashaya tadiskritam. To protect the innocent, religious devotees of the Lord, and to annihilate all uneducated, uncultured asuras, who are unnecessarily bark like dogs, and fight among themselves for political power. It is said, Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. The Hare Krishna movement is also an incarnation of Krishna in the form of the holy name, Nama Rupe. Every one of us is actually afraid of the Asuric rulers and politicians. Every one of us who is actually afraid of the Asuric rulers and politicians must welcome this incarnation of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we will surely be protected from the harassment of Asuric rulers. At the present moment, these rulers are so powerful that by hook or crook, they capture the highest posts in government and harass countless numbers of people on the plea of national security or some emergency. Sound familiar? Then again, one asura defeats another asura, but the public continues to suffer. Therefore, the entire world is in a precarious condition, And the only hope is this Hare Krishna movement. Lord Nrisingadeva appeared when Prahlad was excessively harassed by his Asuric father. Because of such Asuric fathers, that is, the ruling politicians, it is very difficult to press forward the Hare Krishna movement. But because Krishna has now appeared in his body, holy name, through this movement, we can hope that these Asuric fathers will be annihilated and the kingdom of God established all over the world. The entire world is now full of many Asuras in the guise of politicians, gurus, sadhus, yogis, and incarnations. And they are misleading the general public away from Krishna consciousness, which can offer true benefit to human society. As they say in American English, those are fighting words. 'Twam asya lokasya vibho nirakshishur grihe vatirno na mamakileshvara rajan samagya sura koti yutapar nivyu yamana niha nisha se chamu. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians, or addressed as Kshatri rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. Here we have Vasudev praying that the Asuric leaders of society can be annihilated or eliminated. And he says that they're dressed as kings, but they're actually Shudras. So this is Kali Yuga, as we know that even after the Battle of Kurukshetra, that Pariksit Maharaj is installed as the king, the emperor of the world, much more than this tiny place we call the earth planet. He was ruling Bharatvarsha, at least. And Bharatvarsha probably even more than that, he was ruling Jambudvipa. In any case, he came upon a king, so-called king, who's actually a Shudra, and who was beating on a cow and a bull. Religiosity. Dharma. And he once took out his sword and he was going to kill the Shudra, who is actually Kali, dressed as a king, who thus took shelter in gold, places where gold is stored. So what does that mean for us? Is this a fairy tale that Vyasadeva was, or Shukadeva Goswami was taking some special herbs and imagining the whole thing? But actually this is what we're involved in right now. As I've said before, that modern civilization, or what they call civilization, which is actually the lack of civilization, is completely based upon killing the cow and the bull. And even the killing their children is all based upon killing the cow and the bull. Because the cow and the bull, they provide the simplest means of getting what we actually need, which is food. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anad bhavati bhutani parjana ana sambhava. That all living entities subsist on food grains. Just like after class, we hope there's prasadam. Now, if there's a choice between class and prasadam, we might even choose class one day, but not for many days. Because basically, knowledge is how to eat. properly, how to get food, all these big degrees that they're giving out, PhDs and MAs and bachelors, whatever. They're just empowering people to do what? To get some jobs so they can get some money, so they can get something to eat. The so-called knowledge, which is actually, for the most part, ignorance. Ignorance because it's simply chewing the material energy in different ways, trying to come up with something other than material energy. But food is the basic principle, and the easiest way of getting real food is how the bull plow the land and the cow to give milk. So Krishna is a cowherd boy, Balaram is also a cowherd boy. He has a plow for plowing the land, and Krishna, he herds the cows with Balaram. So this is eternal. This is going on in Goloka Vrindavan. It's not simply something we do down here, but when you get down up to the spiritual world, there's big industries. They've really built it up eternally. Super computers in the spiritual world. No, there's no computers. Or as Prabhupada said, not only that, just like Prabhupada gives the example of the priest who told the workers who are mining coal, when he was trying to tell them that unless you surrender to Jesus, you're going to hell. And so the workers said, well, what? Oh, we never heard of Jesus. We never heard of hell. What's the difference? So the priest told the workers, hell is dark and it's very warm. There's hardly any good air down in hell. So they thought, it sounds like our mind. It's not so bad. And then he said, there's no newspaper. And as soon as the workers are, there's no newspaper. Oh, let's surrender to Jesus. This is abominable. So, in the same way, this materialists, if they heard there's no computers in the spiritual world, they'll say, oh, that's horrible. And there's no Facebook. Oh, we're not going there. We're not. That's barbaric. And people will laugh when we tell them they're herding cows in the spiritual world. Krishna, he hasn't made any progress eternally. All he does is keep on herding those same cows all the time. He doesn't even eat them. He's so foolish. He's herding cows all the time, and he doesn't eat any of them. So this means that modern society has been brainwashed into making things more and more complicated. In the name of advancement, all they're doing is making things more difficult for everyone. Yes, they're advancing towards hell, that's certainly true. But it's not real advancement. Real advancement is advancement of consciousness towards higher consciousness, and in the higher consciousness, there is simple living. Krishna is simply living with his associates in bliss in the spiritual world. There's no problem. The food is fantastic. The air is pure. Shriya, Kanta, Kanta, Parama, Paruma, Purusha. Bhuma, Bhumis, Chintamani, Karmayitayam, Toyam, Amritam. There's no bottled water. Could you imagine going to a place where you can't get bottled water? What can you drink? People actually drink from they actually have rivers there like the Jamuna. People actually go down there and they drink the water. It's a surprise that they're surviving in the spiritual world. What about all the chemicals coming from the spiritual factories? No, there's no factories. If there are no factories, then where, how do they eat? Where do they get the food from? You're going to tell me there's no grocery stores. It must be pretty boring now. Would they just eat rice? No, it says that Shrimati Radharani, every day she makes so many preparations of Krishna, and eternally she's been doing that, and they're never the same, they're always new. And nowadays they have the same cereal, dry cereal that people are eating. They have to put tons of sugar on it just so it tastes like something. And they call that progress. As I said before, the scientists, they want to find out what is the nutritional value in cereal. So they have a particular kind of cereal in America called shredded wheat. And so they fed the shredded wheat to the rats in a cage. But they didn't take the box away. So the rats ate the box. And they left the wheat because they didn't want to get sick. And they knew where if there's any nutrition, it would be in the box, not in the wheat. So actually, with the cow and the bull, you plow the land and you grow the crops. And the cow gives, and the bull, they give cow dung, which fertilizes the land. You don't need fertilizer. You don't need insecticide, pesticide, herbicide, and peoplecide. You don't need all these things. Because just for the cow and the bull, by passing stool and urine, the land is fertilized. And they, by the plowing, it actually makes it more fertilized. And the food comes very simply and naturally. The cow, out of love, will give ample milk. And Prabhupada said with the milk that it produces finer brain tissues that lead to clear thinking so that one can actually understand the path of spiritual life. One can actually understand we're not this body. But now they've created tractors to take place of bulls and the cow. Actually, I saw on the internet I didn't look at it. But it was something about man. They're trying to get man to breastfeed children now. Man. Difficult, but they're determined. We don't need the cow anymore. We'll have a machine to breastfeed the children. We'll have tractors, and from the tractors you have to, of course you need oil for the tractors, and you have to manufacture the tractors. You have to get so many resources, so many metals, and you have to get so much chemicals to manufacture the, and then you need a factory to manufacture the tractors, and you need a factory to manufacture the factory to manufacture the tractors, and then you need another factory for the, to manufacture the cars, to pick up the produce, whatever. And it keeps on going on. Then you need stores. People have to drive to the stores. And they need roads. They need oil. You need refineries. And you need armies to protect your factories and everything else. And you have to manufacture so many arms. And then you have to have so many wars to kill off the people who are eating. So that they don't, the useless eaters, you need wars to kill them off. So they don't eat your food. You may have billions of dollars, but you're worrying that someone's going to eat your chapati. So you have to get rid of the other eater, the competitors for your chapati, establish wars. So it goes on, and this is modern society, and then you have to have propaganda to claim to people that actually we're making progress. That now we're in Europe, the most peaceful continent that ever existed. If you go down to Ljubljana, the parliament here, to glorify Slovenia, they have a mural of all the different wars that they went through. all the struggles if they went. We're small but beautiful. And it goes on. Still the wars are going on and everything is getting worse and they keep on claiming we're making progress. So real progress is to purify people's hearts, to change people's consciousness so that they can actually get out of this illusion that they're going to become God in this material existence. They're going to control the material nature. They're going to exploit the material nature, and everyone's going to live like they're the supreme. And that the Asuric leaders that we have, they actually know what they're doing. Andayatan dera pigiyamanas te piksha tantra uru dami vada. Prahlad Maharaj said it all in Treta Yuga, that actually Natevidu Swarthakatimi Vishnu, they don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna, who is now appearing as Krishna in the holy name. They don't know that the aim of life is to perfect our relationship with the holy name, with Krishna. Instead, Dharashaya Vahir Artamanina, they've taken things that are completely insignificant. They have all these movies and they always have the same ending. Well, no, actually, maybe the ending is a little different. But it's all useless. They live happily ever after, right? You see these young, beautiful actresses and actors, and then they show you what they're like 20 years later, or 50, 20, 30 years later, and they look like they're something that the cat dragged in. All these beautiful actresses and actresses, they look like, you know, a truck ran over them. So they're not happily ever after. When you actually see what the after is, it's not happy. So we're living in a dream. And it's simply due to the expertise. Like they had this movie called Avatar. I'm sure all the devotees went to see it because it had a spiritual name. To see who invented. And as far as I know, in the Avatar, it's effulgent, isn't it, right? It's supposed to be effulgent. Self-luminous, the people there, the plants are luminous. It's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And I think the Avatar, they're bluish?
Yeah.
Obviously, whoever wrote the script read the Bhagavatam. Maybe not our Bhagavatam, but they read some Bhagavatam. And this is their ideal. People were depressed that they couldn't live in such a nice place where everything is effulgent. The animals were peaceful, they were happy with the people, and et cetera, et cetera. People could fly, whatever. So they're dreaming of the spiritual world and they're making the Yamaloka instead. They're being promised the spiritual world, but actually what they're getting is plastic and metal. These cars. Just like they have these cars, is people have to work so hard in order to get a car so they can, as that famous story goes, the Brahmin with the kopins, he only had a pair of kopins. And so he was a very good Brahmin. He was focused on Krishna. But then when he was bathing in the Ganges, one mouse came and stole his kopins. And so he was very embarrassed, so he begged another pair of kopins. And then, in order to protect his kopins, he found on the internet, cats are against rats. so he hired a cat. But then the cat started to make all these strange sounds, so he did further research and found out cats need milk. And then after deep investigation, going to the university for 5 years, he discovered that cows give milk. So he begged a cow. But then it was too technologically advanced for him to how to milk a cow, so he got a wife. One of the last women on the earth who knew how to milk a cow. But the wife wanted children. So he had to get a house. But to pay for the house, he had to get a job. But to go to the job, he had to get a car. But to get a car, he had to get two jobs. So he was working at night and during the day to pay for his cow, to pay for his house, to pay for his car, to bring his children up so they could also learn how to work to get a cow, a cat, a wife, a house, and a car, and two jobs. So now he had all these paraphernalia in order to protect his kopins. But he was getting very nervous. He was completely anxiety over his kopins. He dreamt of rats day and at night. He couldn't sleep. He dreamt of hiring an army to protect his kopins instead of the cat. Because things were getting so complicated. So eventually he renounced everything before he had a nervous breakdown. He took his kopins off and walked away. So that's modern society. It's becoming more and more complicated. They want a society of robots. But then again, how are they going to maintain the robots? They're pretty expensive too. So then the robots will fight against each other till the last robot on Earth. So the fact is people are simply being misdirected. They're in ignorance. They don't realize that life can be simple. Previously, even when I grew up in New York, in Brooklyn, and now where I live, there are more people where I live than there are people in Slovenia. There's so many high schools in New York, we had 10,000 high school students. We had a session in the morning and we had a session in the afternoon. 5,000 came in the morning, 5,000 in the afternoon. My university, my first university had 35,000 students. The second one had 50,000 students. And that was wonderful. So, and at the same time, when I grew up, there was a farm which was just like 20 kilometers from where I was living. People actually understood that the value of growing things. Even nowadays, there's propaganda. You know, grow things on your roof, grow things on your windowsill, make your gardens. Because they're running out of food, whatever. But actually, things can actually be quite simple. If you simply have a cow and a bull. And then you don't need all these things. You don't need, even though there may be armies in Dwarpa Yuga, but normal people didn't fight in the army. They didn't draft people. They were people who trained to fight. And they fought not over greed, they fought over religious principles. So it was auspicious fighting even for the soldiers. Because practically everyone was either assisting or participating in the sacrifices to Vishnu. And therefore there was peace and prosperity, the rain came on time, people could easily farm, it wasn't such a drudgery as it is now. Where to find some farmland, where to find farmland with water, where to find farmland with which is not next to genetically modified food that blows over to your field, and therefore half your field now is genetically modified, and Monsanto comes and sues you for growing genetically modified food on your field and violating their patent. They blow the seeds over to your field, produce genetically modified food on your field, and then they sue you for violating the patent. They take your land. Anyhow, it's very complicated, but it could be very simple. And the simple way of doing it is to chant Hare Krishna and then hopefully get some intelligence so we understand that although it's Nibandha Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Uchite, we're trying to dovetail our this modern technological industrial civilization in Krishna service, and therefore we utilize cars, we utilize our iPhones or or even Androids or whatever. In Krishna's service. But it's all with the idea of trying to spread the holy name. Maybe we even get on Facebook. Not to smile at people. Like in the forest of enjoyment, two monkeys looking at each other. No, the idea is to actually convey the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even on Facebook. To spread the holy name, and if we spread the holy name, then hopefully we'll get the intelligence of how to establish an economic system which is not based upon ugra karma. Although in the meantime, obviously we need an army of Sankirtan devotees to spread the holy name. But eventually we'll also need people to understand that we also have to take care of the land properly. Not by becoming a vegan, but by actually utilizing the cow and the bull properly so that they actually produce the food that we need in the simplest possible way. And therefore eventually there's no need for these industries. There's no need for these armies. There's no need for all this air pollution and water pollution and food pollution. It's completely unnecessary. It's simply an artha. But people have to develop higher brain power by hearing the holy name. If they can't get it in any other way, the holy name will give it to them so they can understand what real civilization is. And gradually they'll lose their taste for all this industrial. In other words, what we need is the great reset. But in Krishna's terms. And the obstacle, as we say, as explained here, is perhaps it's the obstacles we think is the politicians and the asuras, and Prabhupada mentions the yogis, the sadhus, so many different persons he mentions here. But actually what we need is the common people, at least a portion of them, to understand what the value of life is and how to properly utilize it, what the value of human form of life is. It is not simply a problem of the Illuminati or any other conspiracies we may have. The real problem is that people are in ignorance, and people are in ignorance because there's no knowledge. Because the asuras are the only ones distributing knowledge. And as soon as we actually become, the more we become real devotees, then the more we'll be able to distribute at least the holy name. What to speak of all the other Vedic knowledge. It's the holy name contains within it. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam is a manifestation of the holy name. It includes the whole culture. So Prabhupada said, we're not only trying to spread the holy name, we're trying to establish the environment by which the holy name can be accepted and properly utilized. Our relationship with Krishna can be accepted and developed in a proper civilization. So at the same time, we're trying to give people the knowledge of the value of simple living and high thinking. And if it's possible to establish farm communities, to establish culture based upon theater, art, music, all based upon Krishna, convincing people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there can actually be progress. Everything else is not progress. It's simply illusion. But when people understand what real progress is, then they'll let people, if there's still democracy, they'll let leaders who actually bring about a cultural revolution, who will actually create an economic system based upon a sane utilization of the cow and the bull and the land, so that people can actually live peacefully and happily without sinful activities and develop their higher consciousness and eventually become Krishna conscious. So that's the business of the Hare Krishna movement, and there's no other movement who's actually has such knowledge. It's not that we only know about how nice Krishna is, how beautiful he is, how what the spiritual world is like, what the higher planets are. We know how life should be on this planet, how it should be lived. And somehow or another, we have to try to understand it and live it ourselves so that we can actually become enlightened and understand everything clearly so we can give that same information to others who are interested. And therefore gradually create real civilization again, which can actually save this. The Prabhupada said, the Hare Krishna movement will go down in history as saving this society in its darkest hour. So it looks like it's getting pretty dark. So maybe we should step up and try and save at least ourselves before they make us into robots. Those of us who are left. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Is there a microphone?
Yes, we have microphones. Yes, here is it. Here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. I wanted to ask if you can say these things. No, you can try to explain.
Shh, don't say it. Some will get upset here.
Yeah, and that they couldn't even understand it. And they wanted to ask, what is the obstacle of this understanding, and how to avoid it? Well, like even devotees can get into that illusion. So how to get away from this illusion?
Read Prabhupada's books. Don't surf the internet too much. And try to, you know, Krishna, as we chant Hare Krishna purely, Krishna will give us the understanding of what's actually valuable and what's not valuable. Right now, it's not practical to tell people, give up your job. I mean, people will not see it as practical. It may be practical. Give up your work and join us on the Hare Nam tour. And who will feed my family? Oh, Krishna will take care of it. Where do we send the bills to? Goloka Vrindavan. So we don't try to be impractical. This is our vision, and we have step-by-step process of getting there. We don't tell people, give up your work and just chant Hare Krishna. And when your children are starving, just tell them, stop complaining, just chant too. And be happy. We haven't eaten 5 days. It's all right, keep on chanting. Everything will be all right. You demons. No faith. No faith in the holy name. I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. I can't stand living in this cardboard house. Tolerate. That's Krishna says tolerate. No, we don't. We're not impractical. We have to, first of all, we have to establish ourselves a proper economic system before we start telling everyone else to do it. Because if everyone gave up work right now and they didn't have farm communities, when we went around, we collected donations from selling our literature, there wouldn't be any, we'd be starving with everyone else. We have to establish the actual culture. We have to establish not only the holy name, but the actual the support so that people can live properly, which means farm communities, which means that we have to become, we have to have the knowledge of what actual medicine is, so we don't become overly dependent upon chemical medicine. We need so much knowledge that has to be established in order to live according to the Vedic ideal. That can only be done gradually. So we don't try to become, we have to see step by step what the process is to establish it before we tell, and we have to do it ourselves before we tell everyone else to do it. As Prabhupada used to say, we go out and distribute books, and people ask us, what's in the book? And often devotees, especially in the beginning, where they were joined the movement, and 2 days later they're out in the street selling the books. I remember when I, at 69, when I used to go to visit my parents to the temple in 61 Second Avenue in Brooklyn, in New York. And Jai Dwaita Swami was the temple commander. So I'd go there and they'd give me some books to go out in the street. And I'd be out distributing the books on the street. And I'd come back in order to get my luggage so I could go to the airport to go back to my college. And Jai Dwaita Maharaj, he told me, I'm sorry. He said, we don't allow anyone back into the temple until the book distribution day is over. So I told him, I really have to catch my plane. I got to go back to school. He said, sorry, it's a policy. No one gets into the temple until the day is over. But at that time, people used to ask the devotees. We were a little fanatical back then. The people used to ask the devotees, as Prabhupada said, what's in the book? And the devotees would say, this is the first time out here. I haven't even read the book. He said, please read the book and come back to tomorrow and tell me what's in the book. So we tell people about this wonderful culture we have. They say, well, where is it manifested? He said, it's in the book. The book's transcendental. We have to establish the culture, the practical aspects that's in the book, and then we can convince others that it's possible. We have to convince ourselves that it's possible. Anything else? Yes, one more question. Yes.
A možete pita, story of slet na vaše отношения sa Srila Prabhupada?
Could you please tell the story about your personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada?
My person probably wanted me to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's what I'm doing. So that's my personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada right now. He said, one time he wrote to me, he said that your service, with the last letter he wrote to me, he said, your service should be to spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. But your goal in life should be to go back to Godhead without any further delay. So that's my service to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.